everybody. Welcome to our Sunday morning chat. Today is the final overcomers subject matter that we're going to attack. And it's in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. Let's start with a word of prayer. Hey, buddy, you want to pray for us?
Father, we just thank you for this day. Yes. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. Yes. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. We ask that you be among us as we share your word, Father, that you enlighten our minds to your truth, Father. Yes. Just give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. And we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Would somebody, probably out of an Amplified Bible, why not, read chapter 21 in Revelation, verse 7? And maybe a few before, who knows. Mm-hmm. Do what you think.
Revelation chapter 21, verse 7?
Yes.
He who is victorious shall inherit all these things, and I will be God to him, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowards and the ignoble and the contemptible and the craving, lacking in courage and the cowardly submissive, and as for the unbelieving and faithless, and as for the depraved and deprived and defiled with abominations, and as for murderers and the lewd and the adulterous and the practice of magic arts and the idolaters, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything other than God, and all liars, those who knowingly convey untruth by word or deed, all of these shall have their part in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone. This is the second death.
Right, and we talked about the second death a couple of weeks ago. That since Christ died and we were in him, and he was buried and we were in him, and he rose again from the dead and we were in him, we don't have to worry about the second death. But I think that we've kind of gone over this. You throw something into Oscar. My idea of the second death is not that something that is quote eternal forever and ever, you know, just punishment for all eternity. It's for, the purging of those things, yes, and for bringing people back to their first love, or to have them have their first love.
Sounds like a little purgatory to me.
Ooh, ouch.
Okay. Well,
how about you?
Well, the way that the Lord has dealt with me about it is that some people are going to die the natural death. You know, the second death is dying to self. You know, I believe that's the second death, personally. And we're Christians, we consider ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto righteousness, as far as God is concerned. So we were crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not I, but Christ. And the life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. So we have experienced the first death. Now, a lot of people think that when a Christian dies, or what we call dying, and I'm not going to call it dying, I'm going to call it moving out of this house into the eternal realm, that a lot of people think that when a Christian dies, you know, that that's a terrible thing. But I believe that you just step through the veil into life is what happens. You know, that's my personal really beliefs on that. But, you know, that second death, I think, is once people have died a natural death without acknowledging Jesus Christ, whenever they bend their knee and confess, because every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess, whenever they do that, they'll have to go through a second death. You know, they'll have to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You know, just like what it said in John. It said, there's one coming mightier than me, whose fan is in his hand, and it's a winnowing fork is what it actually is. And he shall thoroughly purge his flour, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And we know that our God is a consuming fire. He makes it, and I'm not going to talk real long because I don't want to take up your whole class here. But we know our God is a consuming fire, and he makes his ministers and everyone who has received him and acknowledged him, they are a minister whether they know it or not. He makes his ministers a flame of fire. So whether you know it or not, you're fire.
Not
you're,
fired.
You're fire. You're going to burn. You're going to burn up stuff. You're going to do some burning up.
Yeah.
And what you will do is, as you witness to the Word of God, mm-hmm. it will begin to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in people's lives. And that's, you know, and every man's works will be tried as it was. And says, I don't know if I'm jumping on your scriptures, but every man's work shall be tried as it were by fire, mm-hmm. and only the precious will remain. Mm-hmm. And the only thing precious in any of us is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's the only thing
I
precious.
Think that's the key.
Yes.
And yeah. You know, the natural, the soulish mm-hmm. nature, it has to be consumed by the mm-hmm. by the fire of God, by the Shekinah glory, or whatever you want to call it, of God. Mm-hmm. And as it's consumed, then the only thing will be left is God.
Yes.
I love that song Brother Eddie used to sing, "When I come to the end of myself, there'll be no
yes.
broken vessel sitting down on God's shelf, all men free and all men see that God is all that is left."
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
All men free, all men
see.
Yes.
And they will. And some
yes.
will have to go through that
second death.
See? And, you know.
People do misunderstand that.
Well, you know, it's that whole thing about being cast into the lake of brimstone and fire and all that. And I think I shared that one time, but I have a real good study on that where I studied into it. And that word for brimstone there is the word theos. And it's where the name God comes from. So literally, and even the name lake, when you get into that, not like say, I don't want to trample on anything he's going to say, but the name lake there, it literally means, if you look it up, it means nearness to shore. It doesn't mean something ominous or anything like that. And what did he say would come out of your bellies? Out of your bellies will come what? Rivers of what?
Living
water. And, you know, you can't separate the water from the fire in God because they're all the same. The water is to cause you to grow. The fire is to burn up the wood, hay, and stubble in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like I say, I hope I ain't said too much, but
no.
that's all I'm going to say right now.
Nothing that I'm not even going to talk. I'm just going to toss out what
yeah.
I got. All the things that, Buddy, that you read, they just sound horrific.
Mm-hmm.
But the basis of every one of them is self-centered selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it even says in the Amplified that a way of saying it that it doesn't say anywhere else is something about that every man who exalts something above God, what is that? What was that that you said in the... It sounded...
You mean what he read?
Yes.
21,
probably 8.
I think it was, 8. Let's see. It's talking about the, but as for the cowards and the ignoble and the contemptible and the cravenly lacking in courage and the cowardly submission, and as for the unbelieving and the faithless, and as for the depraved and defiled with abominations, as were murderers and the lewd, and the doctors and the practitioners of magic arts, and the doctor, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything
yes.
other than God.
There,
God.
Right there.
Right.
That is, to me, the epitome of self as the center of your universe. You know, it's putting any of those things ahead of God. And I think that is just exactly what requires the second death. Death to self, period, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll just be a miraculous thing when we see it happen. And I hope we get to see it.
And
we get to be there when it happens.
It's not just ourselves, but it's others. I have a family member that, to me, is obsessed with a known person that has done great things, and so to me, they have put them above God, and to me, it's almost like a worship.
Mm-hmm.
That is honoring them.
Mm-hmm.
It's honoring them. And being really used in this field in that, but it's, to me, like, off.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what they're doing is helping others in that,
mm-hmm.
and but it's off-center. It's
mm-hmm.
not here with God first and foremost,
mm-hmm.
and then He going through me with
exactly.
His.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That reminds me last night. That's very interesting because it just came to my mind. And we were watching the football game, the UC football game.
It's very spiritual.
Yeah, so spiritual. But what you were talking about, the person you were talking about.
Yeah.
And we were watching after the game, and all the people were out on the field, and here were all these adults rushing to these college kids getting autographs. I mean, that's the same thing.
So
it's a kind of idolatry.
It is.
You know, and it was that's what that reminds me of. They have put this kid on a pedestal that he's going to be something, you know.
Which is sad, because many times we put them in God's dealing, He brings them down, and He Himself maybe not even felt that way.
Yes.
But it's because of what people have
yeah.
done and felt towards.
Yeah.
Well, that's something we ought to stop and think about. That if we do that to someone, have we not almost played
a
part
in
the fact that they need to be dealt with
mm-hmm.
later on down the line?
Yeah.
I do have that paper that I shared, if you guys want to hear the actual definitions for
the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'll give it to you if you want it.
Yeah.
I'll start off with verse 7. It says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son."
Mm-hmm.
But the fearful and unbelieving, this is that what Buddy just says, unbelieving and abominable and murderer and whoremonger and sorcerer and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, here's the word studies on those words here. Okay, the first one is the lake. It's the thought or the ideal of nearness to shore, a pond or a small lake. And it says, and when it says by fire, primarily a verb to set on fire, to kindle, implication, to consume, to burn, or to light. And another word for fire is literally, figuratively signifies lightning, you know. Fiery fire, to kindle, to fire, the Greek. Is that a Greek lexicon? And then the one for brimstone, here's the one from brimstone, theos. In original sense of flashing, sulfur, brimstone, godlike, neuter, a noun of divinity, as the divinity, divine Godhead. Then it says, divinity, dignity, Latin, divinum. It's not only used by the Greeks to denote the divine nature, power, and providence in general Greek, English lexicon of New Testament. Apparently, the equivalent of divine incense, because burning brimstone was regarded as having the power to purify. Mm-hmm. You know, now, see, everybody that yes. preaches on that, they never go into what those words really mean. They just take it on the surface because it goes against the traditions of the elders that they've been mm-hmm. taught mm-hmm. over the years, rather than studying to show themselves right, approved, a man who rightly divides the word of truth. You know?
They act like a lot of the teaching is that that's hell mm-hmm. and you're being thrown right. into this fire, not,
right. Right.
not well, knowing, you know, that.
Well, what you have to realize is the rest of that scripture, if you read it, it says hell and death are cast Amen. Into that lake.
Yeah, but people, mainly they don't preach that. Now, you know, if you've heard
they don't preach hell and preach death being cast. Hell's eternal, but it yeah. has to, it's cast into that lake. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen when it's cast into that lake? The whole traditional teaching of hell is going to be consumed. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be anymore mm-hmm. because it's consumed.
What?
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And I tell you.
Well, if you got up and spoke that, they'd send you to hell.
Well, if I got up and spoke it, they'd have to either say that the word was a lie, mm-hmm. the word of God, because that is the word of God. That is the definition of these words. See.
Yeah, but God's not a liar.
Yeah, God's not a liar.
That they use and, hell against and people see, to keep them in line.
You know.
yeah.
You know, but I, you know, this is I entitled this the Lake of Fire and Brimstone, mm-hmm. and it not only does that, but it gives you other scriptures yeah. where it talks about the consuming of wood, hay, and stubble, and the various things, and you know, and you know, the reconciliation of God and all that kind of stuff.
When you were talking,
I did a pretty in-depth study on this when I did it. You know, and Hebrews 12:29 says our God is a consuming fire.
Yes.
You know, and you know, there's other scriptures that just enhance that. You know, what did on the road to Emmaus? What did Cleopas and the guy that was with him say, as he talked with us, didn't our hearts do what? Burn within us. That was that fire.
Yes.
But you know, everybody takes it literal, and it's not literal. You know, and you know, Matthew 13:3-12, I indeed baptize you water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his flour and gather his wheat into the garner, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And a lot of people say, well, that's because they're chaff. No. Brother Eddie preached a sermon one time years ago, and I still remember because it ministered to me so much when I was a real young Christian, about the chaff. He said the chaff is a lot of times the hard outer part portion of the wheat kernel, you know. And you know, it's like you. If you went out into this field down here about a month ago, you'd see a ton of corn in one of these fields down through here. And they allowed that corn to come to its full maturity. In other words, when we eat corn on the cob, it ain't fully mature. It hasn't went all the way. Mm-hmm. It's still in a soft, chewable form. Mm-hmm. But if you allow it to go to its full maturity, it becomes hard. It's a hard outer crust. And every time you kip cornbread or anything like that, that's what
that.
You're using. It came from that. Mm-hmm. That was ground up and became cornmeal. And that became bread, you know. Mm-hmm. But that outer husk had to be broken off. And I used to pray when I was a young Christian, I'd say, Lord, take this away from me, take that away from me. Things where I felt like I wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, where I really thought I should be, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then when Brother Eddie preached that sermon about the chaff and it being necessary until the full kernel becomes totally mature on the inside.
Protect,
then the chaff can be broken off. And what how did they do that? You know how they did that? Well, they broke it off. Now, this is how it broke off. The temple was built on Ornan's threshing floor. That's where they built the natural temple originally. David purchased that because Ornan tried to give it to him, and he said, "No, I'll not give anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me something." Mm-hmm. You know, and he purchased that. Here's what they did. Here's exactly how they did corn back then. They would throw it down on the threshing floor. They would get their animals and carts and run over it and run over it and run over it. You feel like sometimes stuff is running over you and crushing you and grinding you into the ground in the natural? That's exactly what God's doing. He's breaking off that hard outer crust on you that you can become the bread of God and truly become the bread of God. And then what would happen after they did that, they would take those winnowing forks and throw it up into the air. And when they'd throw it up in the air, the wind would blow, which signifies, we know the Holy Spirit is the wind of God, which signifies the Holy Spirit, and it would blow, and it wouldn't blow away the wheat part on the inside of it. It would blow away the chaff, and the chaff would be blown away. And they'd keep doing that until what they had left was pure wheat, something that really could be made into bread and stuff. And so many times, a lot of times Christians out here today say, "Well, bless God, you don't have to go through tribulations. You don't have to go." Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I will argue with you about that. The tribulations and the things you go through out here on a daily basis are things that are breaking the chaff off of your life. And a lot of times you still have some chaff and you say, "Oh God, is that thing still there? Or do I still do that? Or do I still say that when I shouldn't? Or do I still do this when I shouldn't?" And it's not about do's and don'ts, but we have a tendency that we realize the chaff is there. You know, we realize it. And it takes God to break it off. And he's the one that breaks it off. And when he says it's broken off, it's broken off whether we still think it is or not, you know. But, you know, I need to be quiet because I'm about to preach a sermon, you know. But, you know, anyway, if you guys would ever like a copy of this, I'll print you some copies of it if you didn't get it.
Did you give us copies?
I probably did. But I tell you what, that is word studies into it. You sit down with your Strong's and you go into this and you look into some of the Greek and Hebrew lexicons, you know, where it actually breaks that stuff down. That's exactly what you'll find, because that's exactly what I did. You know, you'll find the stuff. But a lot of times the traditions of the elders have made the Word of God a none effect. And people make it into something way different than what it really is.
Truly.
I
remember you talking about
it. Makes it very clear.
A while back about the fire of burning wood.
Uh-huh.
You know, it doesn't stop there because the elements after the fire burns the wood, it turns to ashes.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with heat, with water. It doesn't stop, like when the water gets hot, and it boils, it doesn't stop there because it creates steam, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
it releases all of the essence of it.
Like a fire and brimstone as to that, because you know it doesn't stop there. Because I mean, I'm trying to say that's God's way of correcting and purifying, you know, and then what's left. I mean, like it's like steam; it goes up in the air, right?
Yeah.
So and then when it goes up in the air, like it's what it creates hydrogen or water.
Everything that's in it is released. It turns into water. It turns into everything that's chemically in that wood or whatever you're burning.
Yeah.
And you know, and really, what happens to what was there? It's reduced to its purest state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what its purest state is? Carbon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard scientists say how they figure out how old something is? What do they call it? Carbon dating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because carbon is an element that is a base element to everything, see? Mm-hmm. And if you to break everything down to basically its purest state in most instances, it's going to end up being carbon, some type of carbon, see? And, you know.
But I was also...
I mean, the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit.
Yes.
But a lot of times people look right past it. They don't see the things of the natural.
I was comparing like fire. Really, fire gives off light.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
So, I mean, to me, that's God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what I was thinking too when you were referencing the fire and brimstone.
Uh-huh.
And saying, and it was like lightning. It reminded me of the story that you told about when you were a kid and you were asleep and you saw the thing on the bedpost.
Right.
And what, like, you know, if you're watching a scary movie and
right.
the kid is in bed and afraid, and then there's a big flash of lightning and boom, for an instant, you see what it really is.
Really bright.
It shows truth.
Reality.
It shows what
yeah.
truly is. And so the fire and the brimstone teaches us the truth of who we are and who he is.
Well, see, I love the one thing that Clarice said years ago, and it's really stuck with me. God will let you believe what you need to believe to get you to where he wants you to be, not where you want to be. He'll let you believe that. He'll let you believe the fairy tales that people are telling about things out there. He'll let you believe the traditions of the elders until the time comes, appointed of the Father. And when that right time comes, those things will crumble down because they won't be able to stand because they're not really the Word of God, a lot of it. You know, and it's a teeny portion, and they're looking at it in the natural. Revelations is a spiritual book.
Yeah.
The whole Bible is a spiritual book.
Mm-hmm.
And there's at least three levels, and I'll say three, and I don't go beyond three because I can't find anywhere in the scriptures where it goes beyond three. So I don't go beyond three. I mean, some people say there's seven levels and there's 20 levels and there's how. I don't say that because I don't see it in here. If I can't find it in here, I don't say it.
The book of Revelation is signs and symbols, right?
Signs and symbols, absolutely. And you know what? I know that that Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He said, I heard and saw things that were unlawful for me to even speak. He wasn't even supposed to tell them, you know. And that's some pretty deep stuff, because Paul told some pretty deep stuff in general. If you, most of what we know is what Paul said, you know what I mean. But if God reveals to you farther levels than that, that's fine. But, you know, if I can't line it up in here, because all scripture was forgiven for doctrine, for reproof, to thoroughly furnish the man of God. And if I can't get it in here by the Spirit, I'm not going to give it to you out there, because it's just my opinion at that point, you know. And opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one, and they're all different.
And less than the truth. Opinions are less than the truth.
That's right. And it's something that falls short of the truth. That's
yes.
right.
Some ministers preach that the lake of fire is eternal. That
yeah.
if you're cast into that, you'd be eternally burning. But
can,
that's not God's
can
word.
I tell you something? You are the lake of fire.
Yeah.
You are the lake of fire. That fire inside of you, when you bring all of God's people together, you are the fire of God.
Mm-hmm.
You are the lake of fire of God, so to speak. And what you're going to do is you're going to burn up the wood, the hay, and stubble in other people's life. And I will say it's eternal because you're going to be eternal. It's eternally in you. You are the fire. You know. And if you're the fire, that lake of fire, if you take fire and add it to fire, what do you get?
More fire.
More fire. I mean, nothing more than that. Fire added to fire is more fire. And you know, just like when Jesus said, you're the light of the world, he was the light. Well, he was the fire of God too. He was all of those things. And so are you, as he is in this world, so are we.
Yes.
And everything in scripture really is so daggone simple.
It is.
And it's so simple that the wise and the prudent out there, they can't even begin to grasp it, because they have to make it into something way out yonder somewhere, you know. And it's not way out yonder somewhere. It's right inside of you. The kingdom of God's within you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You're the light of the world. Because why? Because he was the light of the world. He's inside of you. So what are you? You're whatever he is, you know. You know. But, you know, I'm sorry I'm talking so much this morning.
Well, you know, that brings, it goes right along with something that kind of got quickened to me this morning. In this 21 verse 7, it says, he that overcometh. Now, and we know who overcomes and why, mm-hmm. and where our overcoming comes from.
Right.
It comes from Christ in us. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. All things. All. I mean, even those people that are, you know, have to have the second death. We inherit that. All things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Boy, I really love that. I mean, that there's a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing that I saw there was in, where it says, two times it uses this G2071 in that, where it says, I will be and he shall be. That's both the very same word. And it means shall be, will be, of course, all of that. But when it in Matthew 5:48, that's the very same word where it says, be ye, therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. And wow, that's, you know, that to us sounds like something that is impossible, but with God all things are possible. It's because that be ye and I will be, he shall be, he already is. We already are. We are, you know, be ye perfect, because that time element, it is complete. We are complete in him. You know, everything has already happened. It's all, when you start trying to talk a lot about eternity and take time out of the equation, it makes it hard for us to talk about it. But it is done. There's a lot about becoming and be ye in Matthew chapter 6. He shall, you know, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Well, do you know that we are Christ's great reward, and he is our great reward? We are totally together, you know? If reality were to break forth now, and we could see things as they truly are, wow, you know? Anybody want to jump in on that?
You know, that scripture that, you know, that we talked about earlier, you know, in other classes about, you know, the overcomer,
mm-hmm.
you know, to him that overcometh, he's going to give all of these things, see. And how do we overcome? The scripture said we overcame. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, and you can't take the blood away. When somebody's out there preaching and they never mention the blood of Christ or never mention the crucifixion or anything like that, you can't take any of that stuff away, because you're taking foundational stuff away. You take the foundation away, the whole building will collapse on you eventually. You'll get off into something that's totally away from the Lord. But overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. In other words, you have to testify about what that blood of the Lamb did for you and means to you, you know. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and love not their life even unto death. And loving not your soulish life, see. And the thing that's going to be burned up, man was made a living soul when he was created. You know, it tells you that. And it doesn't say he was made a living spirit. you know, said he was made a living soul. And you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what does it say there about how the progression went? The last Adam is of the earth, earthy. The first Adam is of the earth, earthy. The last Adam was the Lord from heaven. You know, said we bore the image of the earthly. Now we have to bear the image of the heavenly. Okay? And, you know, we have to realize, and really, I should go back and teach on the 15th chapter, because that is such a rich chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It tells you so much there, you know, it just brings things out very clearly if you really, really read what it says and you really take in what it says. But, you know, howbeit the first man was a natural man, it says. It doesn't say he was a spiritual man. Now, we all want to say he was a spiritual man. We tend to say that. You were a spiritual man before you came into this earth. But when you came into this earth, you were not a spiritual man. You were a natural man. Because he said, well, either that or you need to rip the chapter 15 out of your Bible and throw it away, 1 Corinthians. Because it says, howbeit that which was first was natural, and then that which is spiritual, the second. Let's talk about the firstborn son and the secondborn son. Firstborn son does not inherit in the Bible now, in the spirit. The firstborn son, you know, look at Jacob and his brother, who got the inheritance. He did. He thought he was getting it by hook or crook. But really, that was God. God was just showing what he was going to do. You know. And what does it say in Romans 8 chapter about Jesus? He was the firstborn among what? Many brethren. Father, the glory you've given me, I've given it to who? To them, the secondborn sons. Hello, secondborn sons. That's you. You know. Say, I'm sorry, I'm kind of preaching a sermon here this morning. I'm not trying to do that, but there's just so many things there if you really look at it. If we'll just come to understand what he's really telling us, it's so simple. So simple.
You know what I kind of like to do, because I was so taken with this morning when I was reading it. It's the whole chapter 21. It's beautiful. So it doesn't matter what we read it in. Who's God? Well, what do you have there?
I've got the King James.
King James.
Here. I can pull up anything else that you want to.
Yeah, but I think the King James is beautiful.
Yeah, I do. I like the King James, because that's what I came up with originally.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I still like it better than any of the other ones, but you have to do some studying to really get the depth of what's being said.
Into the city.
Yeah.
He says, you know, after all this, then the angel came and he said, I want to show you the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful.
The Lord dealt with me about those gates of the city back there. And sometime I need to share that sermon again. I shared it years ago, and I'm sure that people probably don't tend to remember it. But sometime, I'll share that sometime. Pretty soon, maybe. Even. Then here we're talking about this.
Okay. You want me to start?
Go ahead. Yeah. Or I can, if you want me to read it, I'll read it.
I got it in King James.
All right.
He says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And if anybody gets anything from any of this, because I know there's a lot in here, just, you know, jump in. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away, oh, I love this, all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Oh, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And that reminds me of Jesus saying, you know, up until that point, right there, it's all, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You will have tribulation as long as you're, and tribulation is a big part of knocking off that chaff around us. It's a big part of our growing. It's a big part of our, but right there from that, he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Wow. I mean, somebody read that more often. Let's, you know, wow. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And then he says, and he said unto me, it is done. D-O-N-E. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And that is truly all men. That really is. You know, some men are just, they deceive themselves, and they have led themselves to be deceived, that's not really what they're thirsting for. And they keep trying to find other things to quench their thirst. But it's the fountain of the water of life that they're thirsting for.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to give it to them and us freely. And he that overcometh, which is, you know, the first fruits, as I'm going to say it that way, shall inherit all things. All things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, I mean, who of us haven't been fearful? And the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, been there, done that, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thank God we have seen that we are liars. And, you know, we asked the Lord to take that away from us. And then he said, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven past last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Okay, Oscar, take over. Because this is so beautiful.
Well, I feel like the Lamb's bride is the church, and I believe that the church is, you know, if you realize what there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says there'll come a time when your sons will marry you, and there's going to come a time, and it's going to have to happen, where the sons of God, the people even out in the sonship message out there, are going to have to come back and marry the church. You know, they've kind of been pushing the church away to a certain extent. They need to come back and behold her glory, because she does have a lot of glory. You ever went to a wedding? And I have a tendency, I have a hard time doing a wedding because it makes me want to cry every time I do it. And every time I see a wedding, it almost makes me want to cry. And it's not because I'm a sissy or anything. It's because I realize what's taking place there. Spiritually, I understand what's taking place there. What's taking place there is, where is all the eyes on
when
the bride? And what, the longer her train is, what does that mean? The longer her train is, the more glorious the wedding is. You know, we watched some of the L'Oreals get over there, and their train, they'd be all the way to the top of the steps, and their train was still at the bottom of the steps, you know. And they had to have attendants pick up the train and actually carry it up the steps. And I can imagine them women how hard it was to walk in the dresses.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the glory was all on them. And the ultimate glory was when they stepped up in front of the minister in the front of the ceremony, and it was finished, and he made a pronouncement. And this is one thing that I don't like that's going on in our day today, where women do not take their husband's name because they want to maintain their identity. But there's a principle there. There's a spiritual principle there. Because when you take your husband's last name, what you get is everything that's his becomes yours. And today what they must do is when they go to the bank, they must add the other woman's name in there with her last name, because she isn't so-and-so, whatever your last name is, you know. And that's not really the principle that God had in mind there. And what that woman that's adorned like a bride for her husband, that's when the church begins to start waking up and begins to start realizing who they really are in Christ. And that they were, that, and the church does this to a certain extent. They give people the sincere milk of the word on a certain level, but not the whole sincere milk. And a lot of the churches are not giving people the meat of the word at all, you know. But anyway, that bride is going to be very, very glorious because, you know, that bride's going to receive the name, you know. And, it's just a beautiful type, even in the natural, when you look at it, you know. But
let's read a little bit more of that. I really wanted to read
you left off where?
Right at 9.
9. Did you read 9?
Yes.
And it came unto me one of the seven angels.
Yeah.
Saying, come hither and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Yes.
I'll read a little bit further, okay? Mm-hmm. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. A lot there's a lot in that sentence.
Well, and what is the church out there always saying that they want to do? Go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He's wanting to bring heaven down here.
She
was descending out of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
She quit being so heavenly minded that she was no earthly good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what needs to happen to the church.
Mm-hmm.
They need to start realizing that the kingdom of God is coming to this earth, you know, and he's coming to this earth too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, as clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high. And it had 12 gates, and the gates, 12 angels. And the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length was as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof in 142 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. You see now how big an angel is. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto glass. I mean, can we even comprehend the truth in those things? Pure gold, clear glass. Foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, a sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, seventh, crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth Christophorus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th and amethyst. Do you think that's where we get the birthstones?
Yep. No, I spoke on that one time too,
yeah,
and told
them.
You what the meaning of those were.
Yeah.
I can't tell you off the top of my head
because
it's been a while, you know. But yeah, that's where you get the birthstones.
And the 12 gates, listen to this, this is amazing, were 12 pearls. I know there's more than just the natural sound of this. Every gate.
Let me stop you just for
sure.
A second there. 12 gates were 12 pearls.
Yes.
How do you get a pearl?
Oh.
Irritation.
Through irritation.
Mm-hmm.
You put a grain of sand or something gets into the mouth of a clam,
mm-hmm.
and the clam keeps secreting stuff to make that thing smooth and round, and it keeps on and on and on, so that it doesn't irritate it. You know.
And every gate was of one pearl.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big old mama pearl.
One pearl.
And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. What a sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw no temple therein. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it.
Yeah.
I guess that's, I think we ought to stop there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know
what?
The
city had no need of the sun, though.
Yeah.
Oh, because the Lamb is the light of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want me to preach that sermon again on that 21st chapter, I will do it.
Beautiful.
Because I can tell you what those 12 gates were. I can tell you who they were and how they were situated and everything, because God showed me all that, you know.
Yeah, he gave the people.
Yeah.
Explaining all
yeah,
that.
The,
yeah,
the all.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, it's really something. I mean, this whole 21st chapter, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You know, and lift up your head, ye gates. We are the gates.
We are the gates, you're right.
That were formed by tribulation and irritation. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But look at the beautiful thing we become. And not only do become, we have become in actuality, if we would see it.
Yeah, and people try to teach that this is a literal city,
mm-hmm.
and that it's got all these jewels and stuff on it, and all this gold.
And
have you ever seen gold that's like unto as clear as crystal?
Mm-hmm.
What happens with crystal? For one thing, you can see through it.
Yes.
It's transparent. Have you ever seen any gold that's transparent?
Yeah.
And what else happens with crystal? When the light hits it, what's it do?
It
breaks it down
into
all the colors. It shows you what the light is all about, what it really is. You know, and boy, I tell you what, it's really very simple, but it's so simple that people out there just do not see it because they just read it and think, oh, yeah, we're going to go to heaven then. And it doesn't say anything about this being heaven.
Mm-hmm.
See, it
this
doesn't say this is heaven.
You know,
this is New Jerusalem doing what?
Coming down.
Out of the heavens, so to speak. They've got it up in heaven. They want to get up to heaven. Well, it's coming down. He's bringing it down into the earth. And New Jerusalem is a people. Not all of these things are people. It's all
to point with the finger.
That first verse that you read, let me just share this real quick and we'll get out of here. I saw a new heaven and a new earth from the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Okay. Now, what does the sea do?
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, what does it literally do as far as people are concerned? It divides one continent from another continent. It divides things from being together. If there's no more sea in the natural, then there's no more division. Okay, that's one thing. And listen to this. This is out of Isaiah 47, verse 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And you know what? That's the nature of man. the Adam nature. He's going to cast up mire and dirt. But he's getting ready to do away with there being no more seed, no more division, no more casting up the mire and the dirt. And please don't misunderstand when I say this, but the political system out there, that's all you hear is mire and dirt all the time, mm-hmm. on each other, back and forth, back and forth. Yes. It makes you sick sometimes to hear this crap. And it is crap, I'll tell you. It really is. It's mire and dirt, and that's all it is. And you know what? We have to quit being ones that cast that up also. Mm-hmm. You know, if we want the sea to go away in the sense of that part of the sea, the mire and the dirt part, you know, the sea of humanity needs to be made one in mm-hmm. Christ, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
It shall be.
But I like that. In Isaiah, he tells Isaiah 27, verse 20, he tells you here, he says, for the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. And what is man looking for all the time? Looking for rest, and they're not finding it. Yeah. Whose waters are cast up mire and dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, and boy, I tell you what, you know, what is man always doing? They're always talking about what's one of the meanings of the name of Adam? Man of low degree, mm-hmm. a hypocrite. What does a hypocrite mean? That's someone that does the same things that he's saying somebody else did. Mm-hmm. That's like a little kid when they're in trouble saying, "Yeah, but look what Johnny did over there. Johnny did it too, Mommy. He did, you know." Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the nature of man. You know, it's an ugly thing. You know. Thank God that the Christ nature's coming into the earth, you know. Okay, sorry if I said too much today.
I count on it.
Well, I'm not apologizing for the word, but I just don't want to say too much. I want everybody else to put in everything that the Lord gives them, too, you know.
Well, I think next week, it's been so long we've been on Overcomers, I think we were in Romans chapter 8, and we had slipped into chapter 9, and that's where we got something about overcoming, mm-hmm. and that's what got us down that rabbit hole. So we'll probably go back to the first part of Romans chapter 9,
okay.
if that's okay.
That sounds great.
Unless you want to do something on 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go.
You were talking about that, right? Isn't that the one you were talking about?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is excellent, too. It's very good.
Let's take a vote.
We could go through 9, chapter 9, and then if you want to jump up into 15 after that, we can go up into 15 after that.
Okay, so that's, yeah. Sound good? Okay. We'll quickly peruse chapter 9 and go to 1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah. There's a lot in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. I mean, it's chock full, you know, stuff. I mean, you know.
Well,
praise the Lord. I guess we should get out there. People are waiting on us. We're running over here. Margaret will be fussing at me.
Father, thank you for this time together.
Yes,
and be with the speaker today.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yeah.